Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now tonight we're going to dig. Okay? Thursday, we took some time out on Thursday to do a heart checkup. And we've asked ourselves, all right, where am I? Am I ready to get into the battle? Do I even know there's a battle going on? Am I aware of what is going on in my own heart and in my own life and where I'm at? This morning, we stepped into just kind of an overview, okay, if you would. Just a look at the fact that what is being said in Romans chapter 8, what is being said that we are more than conquerors, and understanding that the victory has already been won. So, but knowing that fact and living in that fact are two very different things. You with me? I can know that, but it doesn't mean I live in that. So tonight and in the morning, we're going to say, how then can I live a life that shows that I know the score is 222-0? How can I live that kind of life? Because otherwise, it just becomes a great pep rally to say, hey, it can be done, but nobody ever tells you how to do it. And I'm so glad that God gave us in His Word the how to do it. How do we live this more than a conqueror life? So if you like to take notes, boy, this is your moment, okay? If you like to mark through some things, this is your moment, because we're just going to walk through here tonight. And we're going to see it just unfolds for us just so easy, and we understand, you will understand so clearly, what does this look like? What does this look like when I walk out that door? What does my life need to do? How do I need to change my life or align my life with the life of Christ? What should that look like? And you know, this afternoon when we talked a little bit about how Paul contrasts the idea that we have this spirit of the law versus the spirit of life. And so we understand that we're no longer obligated to the spirit of the law because we've received Christ. And as a result of that, we'll no longer be judged by the law, but we'll be judged by what we did with Jesus. Okay? And as I look at that, then His blood is placed upon my life. And so therefore, when God sees me as clean. Amazing. Okay? Just amazing that salvation brings that into my heart and my life. So we understand that. So what does it look like to live this life in this spirit? And I want you to note a few things, and we're just going to kind of walk down through these verses. Look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So here's what we know. Here was one of the statements that he makes to us in boldness. If I live according to the flesh, I can't please God. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? A life lived in that flesh. So if I want to live a life that is victorious, if I want to have that more than a conqueror attitude and spirit in my life, if I want to be able to say, this is my legacy in my life that I want to leave, this is what I want to be known for, then here's that first step we want to step into. Am I living according to the flesh, or am I living according to the Spirit? And you know, I know that we all have our moments sometimes in the flesh. But I want us to understand that we're thinking about a life that's lived according to what the Spirit of God has for us versus a life that is lived according to our own wants, my own heart's desire. I want this and I want that. It's kind of a two-year-old mentality. Mine, me, give, now. Right? It's that two-year-old mentality that so many times we have in our lives. I just want it. I want what I want, and I want it now, and somebody give it to me. And so if we're not careful, that is the gratification of the flesh. I think it was Harold said earlier today that we cannot allow our feelings to dictate. And that's so true. It's so true. Because I mean, you know, I know there's a few gentlemen in here, but as a majority of women, can we just admit we can be really super fickle when it comes to our feelings? I mean, come on now, right? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, at 10:30, you're here, and at 2:30, you're in a totally different place. Okay? You know what I'm saying, right? And depending on your age, that can be like 45 seconds. Right? Just depending on where you're at in life right now, I'm there so I can speak of it. All right? So, you know what I'm saying? Depending on where you're at in life. And so we have to be careful that we are spirit-controlled people. The Spirit of life lives within us. So therefore, we need to let Him boss us. He needs to be the one who controls us. And don't say He can't, because He can. He can. He needs to be the one that controls our words. He needs to be the one that we surrender or bring every thought captive to. We need to be sensitive to His voice. We need to clean our lives of things that do not bring honor and glory to God. And we need to watch that fruit of the Spirit manifest itself in our lives. Do you know you cannot generate any of this on your own? You can't live a more than a... This is not a go home, look in the mirror and say, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can. That is not what this is. Because I'm just going to tell you, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. Unless you have the Spirit of God in you who does it in you and through you. Because this is supernatural living. If you haven't read the fruit of the Spirit lately, go read it. Gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. Okay? I mean, seriously? These are some pretty demanding things that should flow out of us. What flows out of you? Does it look like? Is it characterized by these things? If it's not, then boy, I'm going to tell you, here's what Paul tells us very clearly. We cannot please God if I live a life that is given over to my fleshly desires. Instead, I need to be a woman who is spirit controlled. And boy, we could stay there all night long, but I just want to ask you, are you pleasing God in your life? Because as a general rule of your life, you're not living in the flesh. But you're following the Spirit. And you're listening to those promptings. As the Holy Spirit teaches us and shows us and leads us and guides us. Here's another one. I want you to look at verses 11 and 12. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now, did you get that? That is just no small entryway there. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now come on. Jesus is dead. He's not in a swoon. He's not passed out. He's not sick. He's dead. He's dead. And His body has been taken off the cross. He is dead. He has been put in a tomb. And what does Paul refer back to? The Spirit of God that got Him out of there on that third day. That resurrection Spirit. Would you say that's a mighty powerful Spirit? Do you think if that Spirit can raise Jesus from the dead? Now listen, so he prefaces what he's getting ready to say with that statement. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in who? Dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Guess what? He can also raise you up. If he can bring Jesus forth, He can raise us up. To do what? To live in victory. He can. He wants to. Jesus died to give it to us. And so we have to be careful that we understand you are not obligated to the flesh. You can live in victory. We've got to quit giving excuses. For why? Well, I just got my temper from my great-grandpa Earl. He used to throw things, and I do too. We can wear those things as if they're badges to be proud of. Well, me and my mama, we just say what we think. Get out of the way if you don't want to hear it.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Here's one we'll all get. If mama ain't happy, that's not a compliment. It's not. No. We need spirit-filled mamas. We need mamas that are under the power and the control of the Spirit of God. And we need to stop saying, well, I just don't think I can. I've tried. Well, that's the problem. You've tried. It's time we surrendered that to God and let Him do the work in us and through us. Because it's the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the one who can quicken you. So please don't sit there and say, well, I just don't think, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand my difficulty. Girls, dead is dead. Dead is dead. And so we are under no obligation to the flesh. Not one. Not one obligation to the flesh. We can live in victory because of the Spirit of God in our lives. Look at verse 15 and 16. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Do you hear this? Note that word again. Again. He says, you've not received this spirit of bondage. You get the idea, this idea of slavery? See, we were slaves to sin before Jesus. Remember what I told you Paul said in chapter 7? The things I would do are the things I don't do. And the very things that I don't want to do are the very things I end up doing. And Paul says, wretched man that I am. You know, Paul's what he's saying is, I've given it my best shot and it's just not good enough. It's just not getting it done. It's not. And then we get to, so Paul understands. He says, man, don't be enslaved again to what used to keep you in bondage. Or you're not going to live this life that's more than conquerors. Because what did we do? Christ died to set us free. And what do? Lock me back up, devil. And how do we do that? Choices that we make, things we think about, decisions that we make, places we go, things we watch, things we hear, things we entertain. There's nothing. I can remember, I think it was my aunt that used to have a sign on her refrigerator. Nothing tastes as good as being skinny feels. I remember that. No, and I'm not sure I believe that. Just not sure. I'm debating. I'm praying about it. I'll let y'all know. Because I do love pizza. But you know what? Sometimes in our lives, we have those same moments spiritually. The battle's real. And we think, you know what? Surely victory can't be as good as living in sin feels. And so I go back to it. And I go back to it. And I go back to it. And the Bible calls it what it is, bondage, slavery. Victory's not there. And then I wonder why I'm not victorious. I wonder why I'm not. And it's the reason is I keep submitting myself to the bondage that Christ Jesus has died to free me from. And so I have to remember, I am not a slave. I'm not a slave to fear. Notice he says he uses that word. I'm not a slave to fear. Boy, I know that we could spend hours just unpacking our struggles sometimes with fear. All of the what-if games. All of the what if it doesn't work out? What if they don't do this? What if this doesn't happen? And what if this? And well, what? And all of those things translate themselves to the fears and the insecurities that are flowing out of our hearts and flow out of our lives sometimes. And I love what we've been talking about in these few moments, every time that Harold's given us these protocols to prayer, because I'm going to tell you, that is where we go back to. There's just those moments when we start to be overwhelmed. What are we doing? You know, Harold takes his 500 yards to the barn or to his office there and starts with thank you. And I can tell you so many times, I've walked laps and laps, and I'm just giving my fear to God. God is, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. Lord, and you just start handing your fears over to Him. Take it. Take it. I don't want to be afraid. See, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. And you know, sometimes I think if we could just boil all this, every bit of it down to one simple thing, it would be, do you really trust God? Do you really trust Him? Do you? Do you trust Him with your life? Single girls, you trust Him with that future? Then quit whining and get up and serve Him. You'll run into Him somewhere along the way if you're supposed to. Get up. Come on. It's not time to whine. Don't, you can't wait till. What if I'd have waited till I got married to serve Jesus? What a lot of time wasted. What a lot of time wasted. So, you know, we all have fears. I don't know what yours are. I know what mine are, but I don't know what yours are. But we all have fears. We all have things. Guess what? We got to give them to God. We got to give our fears to God. We really do. And we just pray through those things. Lord, I know you're bigger. I know you're greater. I know you're stronger. I know you're wiser. You see, when I know who He is, changes everything. The score suddenly becomes 222-0. You see how the mind changes? My heart changes. My mind changes. Why? My life changes. So important for us to understand. I'm not a slave. I'm a child of God. He says, guess what? So that now what do you cry? Abba, Father. Oh, I love that. I had a good daddy. I don't know if you did or not, but I have. I have such a good daddy. He's 6'6" with a little lean. He's 82 now. But when I was a kid, he was Superman. I'm just going to tell you. He was 6'6". He was muscular. And I'm just going to tell you, people are not messing with me. Because they knew my daddy. They know my daddy. My brothers, I'm the oldest of three. I have two younger brothers. All right? One's 3 years younger, one's 5 years younger. And man, we'd get into it. And when they were younger, I could take them. I could take them. But then they got a little older. And they did tag team on me. And I could no longer take both of them. But you know, all it would be like, Daddy! Here you come. Boys, what are y'all doing to your sister? You know, and one of them's got blood running from his face, and the other one, he's got a bruise. She's a girl. Don't mess with her. She's not a girl, Dad. She's not a girl. She's not a girl, Dad. All I needed was 5 minutes to cool off so I could come back out. It's wonderful to have a good father. It really is. If you didn't have one on this earth, I'm going to tell you, you have one in heaven. Amen. And I know not every woman here probably had a good father. And I'm sorry that you didn't. But I want to tell you, you have a father who will never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. And he'll be to you what no earthly father can be. But my daddy, I'm going to tell you, he was a good one. So I understand what it's like to call. Daddy! Daddy! Help! Whatever. And I know what it's like to hear him come. I know what it's like to hear him come. And I want to tell you, this is what Paul says. He says, you're no longer a slave. You're a child of God. You have a heavenly father. And we already know that Jesus taught us that if an earthly father wants to do good gifts, wants to give good gifts to his children, how much more do you think the heavenly father wants to do good to you? Oh, have you forgotten that nothing can separate you from the love of God? That was just at 2:00. Can famine or peril or sword? No, yay, Nay, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're more than conquerors through Him who has called us and who loves us. Guess what? Woo! That's my daddy. Don't mess with me. And that's the way you ought to feel about our Heavenly Father. And sometimes I talk to women like that, and they're like, Reba, I don't know. You just seem to have something with Jesus I don't have. And if you're playing church, you might not have a relationship with God. Now, I love church, and I go to one, and it's part of my family, and I grow there, I'm a better woman for being a part of my church. I can tell you that. I need my church. But I want to also tell you, too, it's not the preacher's job to have a relationship with Jesus, and I'm just going to try to catch the aroma of my preacher. It's your job to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Church is all bonus. Church is rally time. Church is together time. Church is community time. Churches love you one another. This is how the world will know that you follow after me if you love one another. That's church. But you need to have your own personal walk with Jesus Christ. And I promise you, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is not just for people who stand up here. I'm being honest with you. I'm probably the least person who should stand up here. There are many, many of you out here would be better person to stand up here than me. I don't stand up here because somehow I'm qualified. I just stand up here because I know I'm called. And so I want to encourage you. These words encourage us. We're children of God. You have a Heavenly Father who loves you. You are the apple of His eye. He cares for you. He cares for you. And that should motivate me to serve Him, to love Him, to follow hard after Him, because I know that's the safest place in life to be, is with Him. It is. It's the safest place in life to be. Let me give you another one. Verse 18, look at this. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now here, Paul is talking a little bit about, he's just talked about being led by the Spirit. And he's talking about the fact that we're not just children of God, but we're also heirs of God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow. But as we look at this, he goes off and he says, there is suffering. So just in case you were like, oh, I guess more than a conquerors don't suffer. Oh, they do. But this is the perspective of a conqueror when they suffer. Listen to it. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you know? She just told you. She just told you. Did you miss it? What did she say? She said the sufferings that are that chair and that are her broken back and that is a paralysis in her life, the sufferings have been used to bring glory. Did you hear her say it? The sufferings have been used to bring glory, and there'll be more glory. This glory is nothing compared to the glory that is to come. And this is what Paul's understanding. God uses the sufferings. He does. He uses the sufferings. So sufferings don't equal defeat. Anchor that in your heart, or you're never going to be a more than a conqueror. Okay? Sufferings is not defeat. God hasn't forgotten you, hasn't left you. That's an immature way of thinking as a believer. Well, God, you allowed this to happen to me. That's not fair. What did I ever do to you? No. Sufferings aren't, that's not defeat. That doesn't mean that we're, you know, that it's bad and somehow God's mad and He's just sitting up in heaven throwing out lightning bolts in my direction trying to ruin my day. No. You see, that's not the loving Father that we serve. It's not who He is. That's not how He works. But we do suffer. And we will suffer. That's not defeat. That's just life. But there is coming a day when no heartache will come. No more tears will dim the eye. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain. What a day that will be. And this, James put it this way, this life, it's like a vapor. Now I know it feels like we've been here forever. But in the light of eternity, these sufferings on this side are just a vapor. They're here for a moment and then they're gone. And we'll have the rest of eternity without them. So it's not defeat. Get it clear. God, how can I glorify you through this? Is the attitude of a conqueror. How can you use our family in this? How can we display your glory? How can we honor your name? I don't want it. I don't like it. I'd like for you to get rid of it. You're welcome to pray all those prayers. But when you pray them, and if you pray them, and God says, you know what? Just like he told Paul, no, Paul, I'm not taking away that thorn in the flesh. I'm going to leave that thorn in the flesh. Now you can pout the rest of your life. Or you can conquer. Oh, we can conquer. And we can rise up and do what God's called us to do. Look at verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? Sight does not equal hope. I want you to get this. This is big. We'll build off of this a little bit more tomorrow. We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen. Guess what Hebrews tells us? Hebrews tells us that it is by faith that we walk. If we see it, it doesn't require faith. I see it. I don't need the faith to believe it. I see it. But when we can see what Jesus has for us when we can't see it, oh, now that is faith. And Jesus says, Hebrews tells us it's impossible to please him without faith. So I want to ask yourself, where is your faith? How are you doing in that area? Does God have to show it to you? I believe it when I see it. I've heard people say, well, I just wish he'd write it in the cloud. Well, I do too. Well, I wish he'd come down and visit me like he did Abraham. He still does. Just not exactly the same. But I'm going to tell you, if you get alone with him and his word, he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. But he doesn't always share all his plans with us. We wouldn't get it. And if we did, we might run. He doesn't share everything with us. He knows what we need. He knows how much he needs to share with us. And so what do? We still follow hard after him, knowing that he is our good shepherd. And he's going to take care of us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will do what? Dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Even here, God is watching us. He's taking care of us. He knows what tomorrow holds. We can't always understand what he's doing, and he doesn't always give us an explanation. And so in that more than a conqueror spirit says, I can't see it, but I believe it. Let's march on. I don't know how it's going to work out, but let's keep fighting. Let's keep the battle. Let's keep going. Because why? Because I know who wins. It's 222-0. I don't know how it's going to work out today, but I know how it's going to work out in the end. We win! Let's do this. God can be trusted. He can. And look at verses 26 through 28. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here's the next verse is the movie star verse of Romans chapter 8. It's the one everybody knows. But most of the time, we don't quote it in its context. So listen to these verses one more time, and now we're going to go right into how it fits. The Spirit helps our infirmities, verse 26. We don't even know how we ought to pray, verse 26. But the Spirit itself, He makes intercession for us, and He helps us. And verse 27, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know. Not we hope so. We know. What do we know? That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's making intercession. The Holy Spirit is working on our behalf. Huh. I'm just going to tell you. He's working for you. Do you know you have someone in the saddle with you, helping you fight your battles, helping you get through life? And when you don't even know what to say, I couldn't believe He said that tonight. I'm thinking, man, the Lord is just targeting this right together. Well, we don't even know what to say. He knows exactly what to say. And He is doing what for us? I love this. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you know what? Many times I say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray, but I just know I want Your will. Jesus prayed those words, not my will, but Thy will be done, in His most difficult moment. If Jesus can set this example for us, we can follow that example. Lord, if there's any way, Jesus said, this cup could pass for me, let it pass. But not my will, but Thine. Do you know that's a great prayer that sometimes we pray? Lord, if there's any other way, if I don't have to do this, if I can do this any other way, God, let's change this. But I want Your will more than I want anything else. Why? Because I know in that lies the victory. That's where the victory lies. So we can only please God in the Spirit. We are under no obligation to the flesh. We are not a slave, but instead we are children of God. Suffering does not equal defeat. Sight does not equal hope. We can walk in faith. And guess who does the work? The Spirit. The Spirit does the work. He does the work in us. He does the work through us. And isn't God good? He works it all out for good. For me and for you. So girls, you're empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit through our lives to be victorious. We can do this by faith. You won't always see it though, I'm just going to tell you. Sometimes I don't even know I'm in the middle of a victory. I'm not kidding you. I'm sorry, well, I don't know. Lord, this is a big mess. I don't know what You're going to do. I don't know how it's going to work out. Everything I see looks terrible. And all of a sudden, God's like, I know sometimes the Lord has to be in heaven just shaking His head at me going, river. baby girl, I love you, but you're killing me. Hang on 30 seconds and watch this. Windows of heaven, boom, big, I mean, everything changes just like that. Oh, don't quit. You don't know what's in your tomorrow. Don't quit. You don't know what God has for you. Let's just keep walking by faith as children of God, because I promise you the Holy Spirit's going to enable us to do it. He is. He's going to give you the ability to do it. You have no ability in yourself to do it, but God will do it for you. He will do it through you. And tomorrow, we're going to even take another step into this to learn more. What does that look like? Let's pray. Father, we We surrender our hearts and our lives to you. God, help us. We pray, would the disciples increase our faith? We pray and we ask you, Lord, to help us to trust you because we know you're our Father. Lord, we give you our greatest fears and our greatest struggles and our greatest doubts. Because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And Lord, I don't even know what all that means sometimes in my own life. But you can be trusted. So Lord, if there's one lady sitting here right now and she's been doubting you, she doesn't know if you can be trusted, Lord, assure her that you can. We're never going to walk in victory if we don't walk in faith. We're never going to walk in victory if we allow our flesh to rule our lives. God, clean us, purify our hearts. Clean us up, Lord. Oh, Lord, as Isaiah, as the tongues from the altar came and purified his mouth, and then Isaiah said, oh, Lord, send me. Lord, may you cleanse us so we can be sent to be your lights. Do that in us, Father. And we'll give you the honor and the praise and the glory for all you do. In your name I pray. Amen.